The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Once again, to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases, like a Spaniard on a tightrope, here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cottolo.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cottolo.
Good and clear.
Come in. You know why I've asked you here?
No, tell me.
You must convince the villagers that I'm harmless.
I'll try all I can.
You're trembling. Are you afraid?
Well, I'm a little chilly.
Have some nice hot coffee. Ooh, it's butternut.
What?
Like it?
Oh, delicious.
Butternut has found a way of making coffee richer without being bitter.
Butternut, you say that again.
Butternut has found a way of making coffee richer without being bitter.
Butternut, I'll try butternut, okay?
Take this.
What? Oh, one for me?
Oh, don't worry. Lots more.
Whoa, you got a whole... Oh, my goodness. You got a whole...
Butternut coffee. Come on. Regular and instant.
Closet.
Rich, but never bitter.
Full of butternut he's got there.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cottolo.
Boris and I. Of broadcasting. I'd like to put that one first and foremost. There's nothing neutral about my neutrality. Neutrality. You heard it first here. I am the godfather of internet radio, all of it. Throughout the cyber waves, no one does it better, and no one does it better. My name is Frank Cottolo, man of name and Jones, the title of the show. This one is for the annals, the archives. Stay with us in Chronicle. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. I've been moving this mic around a bit, huh? Have you heard that? Have we clipped? My name is Frank Cottolo. I am the man whose name adorns the title of this show, and every show. So it's because it's all just following in my footsteps. I have made the carbon footprint that goes into this, all of this. So now, and everything has come true since the day I came on. It's all come true. Does that make me a prophet? Not a cent. That's a little play on words there. But so is this. Okay, I want everybody to do this. You ready? Whatever you tweet, and I know you are tweeting, because that's what everyone does. I want you to hashtag this here. Hashtag neutral neutrality. Okay? We're twisting it around. Neutral, which would be N-E-U-T-R-A-L, neutral. Is that how you spell neutral? Neutral. Yeah, I think, well, yeah. Fine. Neutral. Why does that look like it's incorrect? Anyway, the words are, it's hashtag neutral neutrality. N-E-T-R-A-L-I-T-Y. So we've taken... I can't even say the right one now. We've taken net neutrality and twisted it around. Now that they've taken it away, now that they think they're doing something smart and wonderful, they, you know them, we're going to hashtag this neutral neutrality. I got to make sure that Tom Savino knows about that one too. Tom Savino, who, if you're listening live, will be on right after this show at 11 live, 11 p.m. right after this show. Neutral? I don't know why neutral looks... I can look it up. I got my dictionary right here, and there's no particular time schedule for this to do this show. I don't know why it looks incorrect. I'm going to look it up. L-M-N-O. Do you do that? I still do it. I do the alphabet when I got to find out which letter goes where. It's because they taught me like an idiot. They used to make a sing a song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, J, K, L, M, P, Q, R, S, T, and a stupid song so that you remember. And that's how you'll always remember it. N-E-U. Now I gotta go, yeah. And then you have to do it for all the letters. L-M-N. And then you know what I'm doing? I'm looking under M, which is before it. Jesus. Oh my God. I'm gonna look up, I wanna make sure we're spelling this correctly. Because I just thought of it as the theme was was running. Because that's the way we do things here. N-E-A, neep, no. Neep, nope, neg, negatron. Let's go throw the words in N. Net, here's net. And you know this, those of you who listen to this show and have been listening to this show know the dictionary, the one dictionary I've been using for the entire time this show has been on the air. This has net, 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 net. There are four nets that have definitions in this dictionary that was released in 1960. But none of them say short for internet, because there was nothing in this world like it at that time. N-E-U, here go, here, I'm getting close. Neurology, no. Neutral. Neural. N-E-U-T. N-E-U-T. N-E-U-R. Here it is, and I'm correct. N-E-U-T-R-A-L. Okay, I was correct. So it's always good to check and get your sources. Something looks wrong, chances are it can be wrong. I mean, there's a possibility. Always a possibility of something. So it's neutral, N-E-U-T-R-A, hashtag N-E-U-T-R-A, neutrality, N-E-T-R-A-L-I-T-Y. So, like, let's say you've gone to get to your, I'm going to do this right after this, my senator in your area, in your state, it's an area, state is an area. You say, hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, don't call him a bad name. Because I'm sure you could think of enough of those anyway. So it's like, thanks a lot at Senator Whippity Whippity, right? For backing net neutrality. Okay? So that's the real one, net neutrality. It's like, thanks a lot. I mean, obviously, he didn't. Find out who didn't, okay? The point is this. You want net neutrality, there's gonna be there's lawsuits, there's all sorts of stuff. The FCC, who have never been the friend of the internet, remember, now they're gonna get their revenge. never been a friend, neither have the big companies that keep this place running. I mean, you know, the ISPs and those. So I want you to, whatever you say, because I'm sure you're for net neutrality, which was tossed out today, all those regulations that helped you and I as little people, the people who started this mess, the people who they cast aside when they had their big media world. And now they want it, and they want it all, and they want to strangle everybody for money, for dollars, for the very milk inside of your breast. So whatever you tweet about being on the side of net neutrality, wanting it under, or, you know, talking about it or saying, make sure you hashtag neutral neutrality. That's going to be the one we want to go over. Neutral neutrality. And some of these senators, some of these people, and even the FCC, they probably don't even, they won't even get it, okay? But we'll stick it to them. Stick it to them. Neutral neutrality with the hashtag. So do that. Also, well, there's no also. We're coming toward the end of this year, Y2K plus 17. Hashtag neutral neutrality. See, I just did it even talking. You could do it talking too. Like if you're after the show or during the show, you're talking to someone. When you're saying whatever it is, and whatever it might be, whatever it is you're saying, see, not when you're saying whatever it is you're saying is correct. Whatever it is you're saying, say it. And even though, you know, you stop like even when you're talking, you don't put a period in there. You just say, you stop. And they know you've stopped if you're going to talk down like that. You stop. Just go. So let's say you wait. Let me give you an example. It's best I give you an example. You're sitting there. I'm listening to Cotolo. Someone asks you, what are you listening to? And you go, I'm listening to Cotolo Chronicles. Hashtag neutral neutrality. So you just say that, right? Let's say somebody calls you up and you're talking on the phone later on or tomorrow, whatever. And they're going like, okay. So now instead of saying goodbye, go like this. Okay, Barbara, then I will, I'll see you, you know, what we talked about, and then it'll all be okay. Hashtag neutral neutrality. And you'll go, what? By that time, you've hung up. And make that the last thing you say, no matter who you're saying whatever to a person. I was going to answer it to that. I almost blew that sentence. So whatever it is you're saying, and whoever it is you are saying it, And to whoever you are saying it, there you go. I keep an eye on what I do and what I should do correctly. So then you say, whatever it is, let's say, hey, listen, Stephen, let's say you're going to the dentist. And this will really blow his mind. When you got, so let's say the dentist puts in that stuff with that water stuff. I don't even know if that's what it sounds like. I think I have to have more spittum. Hold on. That's what it's like. It's like it's a sucking thing. It sucks the saliva out. Now, I don't know what your dentist or any, I don't know what dentists do with all that saliva when they collect it. What do you think? Go like that, you know, and just go, and he'll take it out of your mouth, right? He'll take it out of your mouth and go, what? And just go, hashtag neutral neutrality. What? He'll go, what? How the hell with him? He'll go, what? You know, he can't hurt you. Dentists can't hurt you on spite. You know, you could sit there and you could say to a dentist, hey, I hate you. I never liked you. I come here because it's cheap because my insurance takes care of it. But I don't like you. I don't like your face. I don't like your breath. You could say that and not be afraid that the dentist is going to like, I'll show you. Go in there and start hurting you and picking at your feet. Gosh darn it, you could sue them, man. You could take them. You put the man away for life. I don't know about life. I don't know if life is the sentence of a dentist showing revenge with his pick and shovel or whatever, the drill and stuff. I don't know if that's true, but I just say that because that's what comes to mind. Hashtag neutral neutrality. I want you to say it. I want you to do this because it's good for you. I don't want you to do this because I created it. I don't need my name on it. I don't need a signature that says, where'd you get that neutral neutrality thing from? Hashtag neutral neutrality to you, buddy. You know, but we use it and we say it and we write it and we put it everywhere we got. If you got to sign something, if you have to sign something tomorrow, let's say a check. You have to sign a check. Let's say a check, right? Let's say, wait a second. If you use a check to pay your ISP or to pay, AT&T or Comcast or Verizon, sign your name. That must be what it sounds like, right? It's a long signature. Sign your name and then put underneath it, hashtag neutral neutrality. That'll be the signal that you are for net neutrality. That's how you do it. That hashtag has never been more important to people like you and I and this ragtag communication system we call the interweb. Okay? Hashtag neutral neutrality. Now, back to lighter things. Now that the revolution is in play, now that the revolution is in play, let me remind you, my name is Frank Catone, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And we, as I said, we are heading towards the end of this year. Want to remind you that I don't know what's happening next week. But wait, next week is still not, let me look at my calendar here. I don't know why I keep getting confused. There's one more Thursday before Christmas. It is Happy Hanukkah, by the way, to all of my Jewish friends. And I had many of them, grew up with Jewish people, and God, I love that Jewish army. But anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, you'll hear that again tonight before long. I want to say that there's one more. We had the sevens this December, 7, 14, 21, 28. 21, next week is the penultimate December show. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe someone will be on, maybe not. I don't know. We don't know what we're doing till we get there. Oh, you never know where you go until you get there. Remember that? You never know where you go until you're there. I happen to know all the songs that were used in the Heckle and Jekyll cartoon series. So don't question me. Hashtag neutral neutrality. Okay, so we'll do something next week, and it'll be here before you know it, just like this one came, popped up, bing, like nothing, like no one knew it. And then the next week, all things being equal, and that means all alive, everything okay, no major catastrophes, it'll be roll call from the Bone Garden. Once again, years of this we've done. We? Yes, the artist D and I. Once again, calling the roll of those who have passed this year, those who have passed, as we all will pass, and this too will pass. Many, many people who are not recognized in other lists. That's the most important thing. The roll call from the Bone Garden does not separate. We don't have neighborhoods of dead people. Like, here are the movie stars. Here are the rock and rollers. Here are the music people. Here are the pop people. And really, the cars? Oh, that's a whole other thing. I don't want to go back into that again because my generation starts screaming at me. Okay. Hashtag neutral neutrality. So we're going to do the roll call from the Bone Garden, the artist D and I, the list of people. We're going to talk about them. Some people, we have personal stories about them. And it's a shame because, you know, they're dead. And so this stuff, well, I couldn't do that again. Well, no, great. I made it on the graphic. Yeah, I don't know what this is called. The graphic sound. There you go. Oh, that was a beautiful one. The graphic sound meter? I don't know. I'm going to have to find out because I keep calling it something else. So that'll be the 28th, and that'll be it for December and for Y2K plus 17. That'll be Shred Old Acquaintance. Old Lang Syne, Old Acquaintance and Old. A lot of people get that confused. Like, should Old Acquaintance be forgot? But it's old and old. So, hashtag neutral neutrality. Gotta get that to Tom Savino. See, it just happened. So many things in this show are born in this show. No matter what I do, notes, articles, which I don't read beforehand anyway, and I come here, no matter what, there's something about the energy of this show, something about the dynamics of what goes on here, whether I have a guest or it's just me, something about that just creates the atmosphere of creative, creates the atmosphere of creative. Come on, Frank. Creates the atmosphere for thoughts, ideas, and emotions to be born of that moment. No other show is as existential as is this one. See, I'm trying all I can to get through the rest of my life speaking well, even to myself. You know, that's a good way to do anything. Don't wait until you have to say, I sit down and practice. Do practice things, whether it's thinking, speaking, or whatever it is you're doing, or trying to learn in your normal lifestyle, while you do the things you normally do, as you normally behave. You see? Do them. Hashtag neutral neutrality. See? See? Now let's get on to this, which is the show on Y2K plus 14. Wow, you know, from one moment to the next, I think that, you know, would be fascinating. Excuse me. I didn't hit the kill button. We don't have a kill button. I could do, well, watch, even if I do this, because I have another, listen, you'll still hear me. You did hear me, didn't you? You still heard me over the distance. That's a kind of a kill button. It's not, but that's fascinating. No, I'm here. I'm adding going. I'm going. There was something I wanted to do. You know, I don't do theme shows, so it's not like, well, you know, you better do a Christmas show because the current version is, let's talk about Christmas. Never did that. Never followed the usual commercial radio themes that would pop up during the year. However, a while back, and I remember doing this, I remember getting a lot of great comments, and I didn't even remember when I did it. A lot of great comments for a show I did where I talked about stringing Christmas lights, decorations, Christmas lights on my home, my father's house, in Brooklyn, New York, back in the 60s. I told the story of this rite of passage that occurred, and the character of my father, who, God rest his soul, Buddha rest his soul, everybody rest his soul, all the great forces beyond me. Did you hear they found, I got to find this out. This may be a whole show in itself. I'll get back to what I'm going to do, because I'm going to do it. I got to, and that is that they said, someone said, and then I missed it, and I got to look it up on my interweb, that there was a solar system discovered, and it was very much like ours. And you know, if there is one of those, they're not having Christmas, because that is intrinsically Earth's holiday. Right? I don't know, but so I did this show, and I didn't know when I did it, and I said, you know, if I tried to tell that story again, because it is Christmas, the only Christmas story I have, and it's a great Christmas. I said, if I could tell it again, but as I said before, there was no planning, there's no script, there's no particular way, words, or it's just not written, so I could never do it again.
that way. And everyone loved the way I did it. I'm going to, so what I did, oh, let me tell you the story, because I've got plenty of time for this too. I waited to find out where I could find it. Because it's my fault. I don't have an archive with listings. It's not like I have I don't have them. So I don't know, unless I go to the blog at CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, unless I go there and I literally, anyone could do this, you click on the entry for any year, and now it goes back to, I don't know, 2004. I don't know where it goes back. It doesn't go back as long as the show existed, because as long as the show existed, there were not these tools to be able to record it. So a lot of shows never got recorded in any possible way, though some of them got recorded on tape. Wow, man, they really sound terrible, but they're weird. And that's that. My point is, I had to go looking for it, and I knew it would have happened sometime in a Christmas time area of the season. Hashtag neutral neutrality. So I went looking for it, and I found it in 2012, and I thought it was earlier than that. In 2012, I did this show, and it's just me, as many of the shows turn out to be just me. So I found it. I looked up where I could pick it up, because I didn't want to do it from the beginning. So what I'm going to do, and I think, I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm going to put it on. And the story that so many people enjoyed will be heard again as it was heard the first time, which is the best way, because I could not, believe me, I don't even remember what I said, but I remember the incidents and the stuff. But this is a great story because through the years, those of you who have listened to this know that I've had many, many father stories, stories of my father, and this wonderful character. Those of you who have read my books, and where can you get them? That's right. You can get not the novellas, not the long things, but there's been the Molotov memoirs. There are stories about my mom and my dad that are completely the way I think they were at the times. They were written about and are. But okay, well, you know that I've told many stories on this show about both of them, who are now passed away. And so this is a great show. He's a great character. This is as good as, if not better than, Gene Shepherd's Christmas Story, or at least a part of it, because this is only the story of putting up the Christmas lights. And I will be telling you that as I did, exactly as I did on Cotolo Chronicles 2012. That's going to come up shortly. I also want to tell you that once we hit 2018, we have some promises for guests. Kenneth Welsh, who I've talked about and was supposed to be on a couple of weeks ago, got sick. And then, of course, I got sick. They were all sick. Everybody got sick. And he's got some things to do, but he's an actor, and these are busy people. He will be on in January sometime. Charles Dennis just finished Barking Mad. And that particular, he's going to go into the editing room, but so he's going to be ready to promote some stuff. I think Neil Dixon, I hope I said his name correctly, he'll be back on with them, I'm sure. And some other people who were supposed to be on, said they were going to be on, including, Dr. Popoli. We got to get him back after the holidays. After the holidays, things just start to, how do I say it? Slow, get slow. You know, I don't even know what did they say, slow up or slow down. Do you? Slow up or slow down. Was that Carl Perkins? Slow down, baby, now you move to... Carl Perkins? No, that wasn't Carl Perkins. It was the other guy. Oh, well, doesn't matter. Hashtag neutral neutrality. My name is Frank Cotolo. Manager's name of Durin's the title of the show. I'm going to look for the 12th minute of this show from December 19th, 2012. Where is it? Let's see if I could... I could find a minute 12. Where's the 12? There's 9. 12:35. No, I want to get it right on the money. I wonder if I could. 12:03. Look at this. Wow. 12:03. Nope. 10:59. These things are difficult to hit. 11:47. You know what I'm doing? It goes to 12:19. That's tough. If I go to 11:47 and, wow, this is like, you know, up, oh, it's 12:03. 12:03. Let's see if I get to 12:01. No, I just missed again. I'm at 12:19. I can't get any back, you know, until 12:01. Come on. You don't even know what I'm doing. How does it take that long? 12:03. Okay, we're going to start at 12:03. We're going to 11:15, 11:31, 12:19, 12:19. Yeah, I'm trying to find exactly the spot. But I'm getting close to it, and I'm going to put on me. Frank Atolo, man's name, who joins the title of the show. What you're going to hear from December 19th, 2012. This goes on a while. I think I took a break, but I'll come in and, not to confuse you, because it'd be two me and, one is enough. But I wish everyone a happy holiday season for you. Here's a story. Do I have anything else to say? The books? Oh, I was going to say the books. Go get the books. You know where to get the books. We'll do the advertising later. Here we go now. Cotolo Chronicles from December 19th, 2012. That was the year everything was, that was the year everything was supposed to end, right? Cause that was the movie. 2012 didn't end. Here's the story of, with a little bit of, I lost it again. 11:31. Oh, wow. I can't believe this. What if I did this?
Imagine it is Stan, but wait.
Wait. There I am again. I'm way too loud. Let's just put it on. What do you say? Here's me. I can introduce myself from that time. Here's this great story of my father and I. It's a great Christmas story. Please listen. Please enjoy it. Write to me at fcotolo@yahoo.com and whatever else happens. Here's me now from then.
Istanbul. I don't think you walk down a street in Istanbul and the houses have decorations, and lights. This may be intrinsic to Judeo-Christian countries, and in England and here and Canada, North America. So, but always. No, regular neighborhoods had houses with lights on them. If you saw the blog at cotolochronicles.blogspot.com, where you can go anytime and find out exactly what's going to happen on this show or has happened, you might see the picture, that the photograph that I displayed for the blog for this show. Is a typical house. It's a regular house, and probably a house connected to many other houses in a very crowded urban street in Brooklyn. Now, there are mostly crowded streets in Brooklyn. And in Brooklyn, New York, where I grew up, houses connected to houses. I mean, you bought a house, but it was a house that was connected to two other houses on either side. They still have those. Is it attached or is it semi-attached? I live in a semi-attached home. Semi-attached means there's only a house on one side. And so there were very few houses. I guess I shouldn't say that, very few houses, but I think a lot more houses were attached than were unattached and completely on their own. And when a house was completely on its own, it wasn't surrounded by much land, you see. But most of these houses that were connected to some kind of, I don't want to say religion, but if they weren't strictly Jewish, because the strictly Jewish houses obviously did not decorate for Christmas, and they had their Hanukkah. And for Hanukkah, Jewish people anywhere not just in cities like New York, not that there are cities like New York, but I mean in major cities and places that are very populated and urban areas, they don't put lights on their houses around there. They don't put trees, they put lights around their houses on the outside. Something festive, the colored lights and the things that are very normal. And believe me, if you went to Brooklyn has a tour, I believe, the tour of lights now, because there are houses. Things have changed so much. People spend, even in these tough, tough economical days of the new millennium, economical days? That's not, even days of tough economy, in this tough economy of the new millennium, economical days. What does that mean? In these tough times, people still adorn their houses with the most incredibly, there's a word for it in Italian, and I'm trying to think of that word, because it's not, and other words came to my mind, but it means overdone. It means like really a gaudy. Gaudy is the word that we would use. That is an English word, but in Italian, in the Italian neighborhoods, they had a word. It'll come to me eventually. But some of the houses are just it's remarkable. These are just houses. Normal people put up all these decorations. You must have seen things. If you haven't seen the particular thick, trafficked streets and avenues in a place like Brooklyn, which in itself is the third largest city in the world, even though it's part of New York City. There was a movie. How about the Christmas, the National Lampoon Christmas thing, where Chevy Chase is, doing all the decorations in the house, and then it goes beyond lights because there's, and the lawn is strewn with like Santa Clauses and reindeers and other, and some lawns have two or three Christmas trees on them, and they're lighted from the top to the bottom. Okay, so you get an idea of that. Now, the task of putting these up it was always a trial. It was always a very, very long and tedious thing to do. And it took a long time, but when I was thinking the other day, because I was looking at houses through the countryside, which do it different colors, one color, all sorts of stuff. And I was thinking about I'm laughing thinking about it, but I'm going to talk about it. My father, who I've talked about, God rest his soul. You know, I've talked so much about him. He was such a character, and every year it was time to put up the lights on this detached house that we owned in Brooklyn. And this house was not big; it had two stories and an attic you could crawl in. You couldn't do anything but crawl in it. No, obviously the three stories would count the basement, because all had basements. Well, actually, more beneath the street. Fascinating. They, in this house, which was not paneled, there was wood panels. This is a very old house. And before it was re-shingled, there was a whole time of shingling. Ever see that movie where I forgot the name of that movie, where I think Robin Williams is in it, with the guys who sell shingles and houses. It was just one part of the world, of time, when in the city there were guys who were selling shingles, and there were these shingle companies that were shingles, because the wood was rotting. It was old wood. This house that my parents bought was, believe it or not, this was like less, at the time, it cost less than today a cheap car. A house costs less than a cheap car. Now, I could do an entire two shows, three shows just on this house, but I want to just give you, I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you that this house had wood shingles outside, so it would. Now, luckily, it was green already, and so it had the season built into it, even though it was, what was that specific color? Paint chip green, I think that was the specific color, because it was chipping, it was cracking. And my father, of course, didn't commission me. I didn't get money for this. Being a rather large man, could not do this alone, but wanted, for some reason, just because this is what you did. Remember, there were just things you did in certain cultures. You just did it. It was time to put up the lights. That was the call. It's time to put up the lights. And you knew it was cold out. It was going to be cold. You hoped it didn't rain or snow. Well, you couldn't do it if it rained or snowed. You'd have to delay it. But eventually you'd get all of the lights out and begin the process. It was a day in hell. Okay, there was nothing that made this enjoyable. And my father, short of patience, short of any talent doing this, a rotund man, with very little know-how, and certainly did not have the finesse, because there was no way to compete with some of the houses, some of the lights, some of the decorations. But my father had a specific bunch of lights, outdoor lights, because they were indoor and outdoor lights. These are all weather lights. And so you put them outside, and they're electric. They run them inside somehow, plug them in. Or there's some, well, you know, there, but they can go. It snows, the lights can go on. It rains, the lights can go on. But you can't put the lights up in the rain and the snow because you have to use parts of the roof. This is where I came in. Because my father was, although he could get up on a ladder, and this is not a very tall house, or should I say high house, tall, high. And yet, you had to be on the roof to do some of these lights. Just couldn't, you know, it could have been done simpler, but it's not the way you do it. And that, I grew up in a world where people said, this is the way you do it. You don't do it this way, you don't do it. So there were rules, there were things we had to do, and I loathe having to go out in that cold, no matter how comfortable I tried to make myself with layers of clothing, to be able to help him. And this, I'm going to talk about this because it is a time of the season where people do this. They probably, most of them have done it already. This show, as it's being recorded live, is being recorded before an actual day of Christmas. So I'm going to talk about that. And I think maybe a lot of you people will, and believe me, you can laugh at us, at the stories, laugh at me. You don't have to laugh even with me, because this is beyond the two stoop. We're doing, let's say, when we put, my father and I put up the lights, let's just put it this way. When we put up the lights to decorate the house, me and him were doing the work of three men. Mo, Larry, and Curly. Those specific three men. My name is Frank Atone, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're gonna have some fun. Every time I talk about my father, even though it's funny and so, I do so with such, I don't want to use the word love. I wanted to use the word even respect, even though, you know, it sounds like I'm making him into this nitwit. You know, it wasn't a nit, but I do it with such, my heart, it's heartfelt. Because this is the man I know, and I, you know, you love your father. And you're supposed to love your father and your mother, and that's that, you know. And even though and today, I think back, as I've said this many times, he did not know how to express himself correctly, and he was very frustrated. When he tried to do so, what happened then was that he would turn that, would turn into a frustration that he'd take out on me and anyone. But he was really just himself getting very, very pissed at the fact that he could not express himself. But later on, because I learned, I lived with so much that he said that later on in life, well after his death, I still live with these lessons, and now I understand what he meant. It, like, if I only, so, you know, what's the lesson behind that? The lesson behind that is keep listening. Even if your parents, your brothers, anyone, you know, someone always has something to say. You might not understand at the moment, but take it in. It might be good advice, and later on, even if it doesn't seem to make much sense, later on, you're going to hear it and hear it, and you're going to find a way to apply it, and you're going to feel great because you went, oh, that's what he meant. I don't know how common that is today in today's world, since there are so many more specifics, since there are children being raised in so many different ways than I was raised, or anybody in my generation was raised, certainly in that environment in the city. So I don't know how. And of course, I was raised stupid because I mean, it was very harsh in a certain way, but it was lovingly harsh. If I had a dime or a nickel or a penny for every time I was called stupid as a child, from my parents, my teachers, or anyone, I would, today I'd be a millionaire. Not just that, though. It's just that it didn't mean the same thing. They said it so much, it didn't mean anything. It just meant, you know, it's a toss-off. But anyway, so stupid Frank and Big Ralph I'm going to tell you the story of putting up the Christmas lights as we did it back in those days when, I don't know what was going on in those days. It was crazy, crazy, crazy time.
This is the Jigman Freud, yes, better known as Jiggy Jaguar, reminding everyone within earshot that Frank Cotolo's new book, Molotov Memoirs, is now available at blurb.com. I know there is not one of you out there that ever trusts a word I say, but this time I mean it when I tell you that you will not be sorry. You're not going to be sorry when you buy and read Molotov Memoirs by Frank Cotolo. So go to blurb.com and buy a copy or two or more. You may regret knowing me, but you will never regret buying Molotov Memoirs.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
You know, you can get yourself a Kindle. Thank you. You can get yourself a Kindle application or something if you don't have a Kindle. So you can buy it and you can still have it. I endorse buying both of these. Now, Molotov Memoirs, of course, there's not a new book, but it is new in digital form. So $3.99 for Molotov Memoirs, $2.99 for License to Skill, and you got yourself, let's just round that off, 4 and 3 is 7. For $7, okay, which is less now than 2 cups of coffee at Starbucks, huh? You can get a friend hundreds of pages of entertainment, laugh, and as it said, learn a little bit about life. Learn. Well, chuckle. So go do that. Get it for your friend and for families or anyone who likes to still read. Those Kindles late at night, just like it, you know, you don't even need, because Kindle has its own light. If you have one of those readers, nooks and crannies or whatever they call, you could sit there and read. You could sit there and read. And it has its own light. You don't even have to put a lamp I still read magazines and books and stuff, and I use a lamp because books are not illuminated. Although some books can be illuminating, as the case may be. These are two books that can be illuminating and make you laugh. You might want, if these cost you anything, they're going to cost you the amount that it takes to have oxygen. I mean, laughing so hard. These are laugh out loud funny books. I know I'm saying that about my own books, but I don't read them for a long time and I go back and I'm crazy. I'm crazy about them. So you go get those and have yourself a great time. But remember, seven multiples of seven, and you got a lot of gifts. Or just give one to one, give $4. Here's a book. $4 for somebody? Merry Christmas. Go get a whole bunch of them. There's also some of my books at lulu.com. Go to lulu.com. The three books there, filled with essays and fun, funny and fun and smart things. I believe they're smart things. The Return of Turk Bahrain. A bunch of stories about my own creation, my own detective creation. Turk Bahrain. What is with me? and what are the other ones? Skull and Roses, a bunch of essays. And Moon Over Gorgon, which happens to be one of my favorites. A lot of international flavor and history and wonder and magic. You can get all those, and you can give them away, too. And they're all available digitally or analogically. Analogically. Or in analog. Or whatever platform. Good old pages that move. Words are a marvelous thing. What else did I want to do before I got into this? Probably a lot, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go directly into this because this season is, I don't know how, I wonder if there are people out there who do this. Do you have these seasonal jobs? Certainly putting up the Christmas tree, for those of you who put up Christmas trees, is a team thing. I don't know anybody who lives with other people or has a family or something, who doesn't have people help. Well, let me put the thing on the tree. Let me do that. Who put the date in there? Well, I mean, that's a whole nother story with my father, who never did anything, but he did sit there. He didn't do anything. He might have helped us get the tree if we bought a real one, and we usually did buy real ones. But when it was time to decorate it, my father just sat there, you know. He was the grand composer. He was the guy who, you know, the guy in the orchestra leader. I mean, all the people in the orchestra reading music. This guy's doing nothing. It's all show with his little, you know, his thing. And he moves his wand around and says, and he leads the orchestra. They're not doing anything. They're not even watching him half the time. Half the time. 97% of the time they're not, because they're reading music. That was my father. He was the leader. He would say things, but he would say things, expect us to listen, like, there's too much tinsel over there. Put more tinsel over here. You know, do this and do that. Certainly not what he did. No, he did do that. Well, he didn't do anything, but he was hands-on when it was time to take out. Yep. Remember the phrase, Frankie, Saturday. We're going to put up the lights. Put up the lights. It being already December. Yeah, sometimes we did it so late. I would just go, why don't we skip it this year? And then, of course, they're taking them down. Isn't it just putting them up? You've got to take them down. Granted, it was easier. Putting them up. Put up the lights. This meant a number of steps. You'd have to start pretty early. Not that early in the morning. I wouldn't watch. It was a Saturday. I used to stay home from school. And I used to have like band rehearsal and stuff. But I had to throw everything. I had to clear the decks of anything I was doing. Because it was time to put up the lights. And to put up the lights, we would first have to go get the lights. Here are the things you need First of all, you need the lights. Now, over a course of a bunch of years, my father had collected strings of lights. And you know, you've seen these lights. I already told you, you know the lights that are connected to one another, and they're all on a string. They're on a string, a wire. Not a string, they're on a wire. And they're large. Most of them are large. There's blinking and non-blinking lights. So you don't buy like some people might do it. We didn't buy like a billion of them at once. So over the course of the years, we bought them. Now, whatever excitement and joy there is in creating whatever design you're going to do that particular year, certainly have to jump ahead and tell you that when it's time to take them down, you don't give a rat's behind about anything except getting those lights down. A lot of people would take the lights down and then carefully wind or somehow take the wired lights and like you do with a garden hose. You know, you wind it up so that it stays in a particular way, so it's easy to take out next time. This was not the case. And so I only jump ahead to tell you that when we took them down one year, and that would be any year, before I talk about putting them up again, certainly my father never paid any attention to making it simple enough to take them out again the next year. He didn't wind them a certain way. He didn't replace any broken bulbs because bulbs would break. Bulbs would go out. They'd burn out. And when it came time to taking it down, everybody by that time was so sick of holidays. The holidays are over. That's a funny thing about the culture I grew up, because they would talk about, here are the holidays are here, here are the holidays, you gotta get ready for the holidays, it's time to put the lights up, get the tree, put the ding, bant the ding, go to shopping, go to run, and the ding, where's the food, special foods, everything that's going on, who's getting the raviolis on Christmas morning, because there would actually be stores open, and the whole families, and we had everybody got together. There was, 30 people. And then more and more and more as kids grew older. And then somebody had to get up early in the morning and go get the fresh raviolis that were going to be made that day. And the schwiebels and the Italian pastry. Okay. But everybody did all this stuff, all excited. But when it was over, and there were rules, it's like, by the 8th of January, which is the Greek literal Christmas. Greeks, supposedly, well, they did. I don't know what people do now. I haven't investigated any of this. But where I grew up, the Italians did it for the 25th or what have you, and Greeks did it too. Everybody did. It was called Little Christmas. It was Little Christmas. We had a big Christmas on the 25th, January 8th, after the holidays. But by the time Little Christmas, you had to get those lights down. As if you were going to be ticketed, as if you were going to pay a fine for keeping them up. But by that time, most of the people in the culture where I grew up, it's now after New Year's, it's now the new year, you're in this dark, dark beginning of a new year. It's all dark. It's still, 3 o'clock in the afternoon? It gets dark. I don't know. It's still dark and it's getting colder. And in the north, this is January. The year starts off always on a downer. And we've talked about this too. How many suicides there are during holidays. And then right after the holidays, there's this huge prelude. Excitement and everything. Then there's this giant letdown. Everybody crashes after New Year's. So when it's time to take the lights down,
take the lights down today. Frankie.
I just said, can we just keep them up and then be there? Like that was, I know that sounds lazy, and it is lazy. But I was like, oh no, I don't have to go through this again, because taking them down was destruction. You actually destroyed the house, but I'll explain that to you in terms, you'll understand that when I tell you how we put them up, because this is about putting them up, but you have to know how we took them down. So the point is, they just ripped them apart, broken bulbs, and just put them away in a big box, and that's it. Would not take as much time to take the lights down as it was to put the lights up. So here's the deal. When it's time to put the lights up, the first thing we have to do is go get the lights. And in these two or three boxes in my father's unruly shop and workshop in the basement, I mean, it's just a mess. This workshop, one of these desks, some of these workshop desks, it's got a vise on the side. I don't know if these exist anymore, but this is what he had, this work desk in this basement, damp and messy, spiders everywhere, you know, bugs. It was not a finished basement per se, where there's, you know, furniture and stuff. This was like before there were garage bands. They used to call them garage. We were basement bands. This is where my group, we had instruments all around and amplifiers and things. And certainly not and nowhere near what people have today in terms of equipment. Just the usual stuff, but it was big. It was big stuff. This is where we rehearsed in this, you know, in the summer, the pipes sweat and the water came down. Okay, so we would have to go get the lights. Go get the lights. No, you get the lights, Dad. I'll meet you outside. I'll go get the other things we need. Well, that was terrible because my father could never get them because the lights were never put away from the year before. We never put away with any concern of how easy you could take them back. So they're tangled. They're in knots. They're just this big ball of lights. And to dismantle this ball, it's, I don't even know, you have to, and the bulbs are still on it. No, you don't take the, we should have done, right? Should have taken the bulbs off, somehow neatly put together these strings of light and so that you could take them out again easily and then put the bulbs in. No, and this is why there were broken bulbs above. Now you have to either take all the bulbs off now, which is difficult because it's just a big tangled ball of wire. And there might be three of these because there's, you know, this is the big box. This is the one that goes on the front. And this is, then there's a smaller one. This is the one that goes on the wing. Or the wing, you know, the thing of the roof that, I don't know what that's called, the molding of, because it's like a triangle, half a triangle, you know. And these things, so they're all, it's a mess. So here goes, I don't know how many hours right off the bat. This is why I had to start early. Untangling the lights and the light wires. And I know right off the bat there's going to be some yelling. Why? Because my father's going to be pissed that they're in this tangled mess. And he's not gonna be happy about that. And he's pissed at himself for not doing it right, taking the time. But he doesn't realize this because Dad, by the time little Christmas comes, we're all sick of this, all this stuff. We just don't care. We just throw it away. We just put it in the thing. Just be done with it. It's all right. Forget it. We all hope we can live to see next year. That's it. You know, there's no regard. And then the next year, you're totally frustrated. So here we go. Now, if I have to untangle any one of these balls with my father, I am going to have to hear and feel his wrath. Ralphie's wrath. because he is going to, I've often described my father getting frustrated and yelling as a way out of feeling, you know, he can't express himself or his anger. I've often described him because he always reminded me of Jackie Gleason. If you've ever seen The Honeymooners, the early Honeymooners, and oddly enough, as I've said this before, my father's name was Ralph, and that was Ralph Gramden was the character. And he was stocky, just like my father. He was a regular blue-collar worker like my father. And he had very little talent for anything except what he did. In the case of Ralph Gramden, he was a character who was a great bus driver. My father was a really great plumber. Barring that, nothing. So he's a frustrated human being. There's so much he wanted to do with his life and he didn't. He's just good at this one thing and that's it. And it's getting, you know, it's getting late in life. You wake up, it's night, okay? And you're telling Dad, wake up, it's night. But here I am a teenager and all I want to do is rock and roll, but I'm gonna untangle these balls of mess. And, you know, any number of things are gonna happen. We know they're gonna happen. We know that bulbs are gonna break as we're doing this. Because now we don't even take the bulbs off. And there were already broken bulbs, and I don't know about how they make them these days, but if a bulb on one of those wires broke, getting the bottom, screwing out the bottom was difficult because there was nothing to hold. To put the bulb in, you hold the glass part. It's like a teardrop. These are big ones too because the outdoor ones are bigger and heavier than the indoors. And so if one was broke, you would have to like put both fingers inside and unscrew that because you had to get that base of the bulb out of the socket. Or you'd have to get a pliers, and you'd have to, this is regular analog work, okay? And you'd have to, and it's awkward, and it's cold in the basement, it's cold outside, you gotta work in the cold, you wanna have gloves, you can't have big gloves, because you're just gonna flop away. So before any lights go up anywhere, you've gotta deal with untangling and the broken bulbs. And later on, you're going to find out that some of the bulbs are broken, but they're not broken. They just don't work. And they're broken in the sense that they don't light. That's a whole nother problem. But we're not dealing with that problem in the beginning. We're untangling. Sirens in the background, huh? That's always been a rather scary sound. And it's something you really don't hear a lot in this neck of the woods. Wow. You can hear that, I know. Listen. Everybody listen. Listen to that. We have no idea where they're going. I don't see any giant flames. There's nothing but black out the window. We are definitely nowhere near the world I am speaking of in this particular monologue. So now we got the giant, here's the giant ball of wire in three different boxes. And you need some room. So you can't do all of this downstairs in the basement because you need some room to spread these things out, which means going in the alleyway because there's an alleyway and then holding them and trying to untangle them. And while you're untangling them, more bulbs are breaking. And my father, as I said, he's getting frustrated as he's doing it. And to make matters worse, he smokes. And he's smoking while he's doing all this. So the cigarette's in his mouth. I got a pen here. The cigarette's in his mouth. And he's like untangling the wires. And I'm on it. We get it loose enough so that I have some. He has some and we're trying to unknot them. You know, you find your way through one into the other. And as he's doing that, let's say, he breaks a bulb. And it's like this. Just yell out. This is Christmas. I mean, just yell out there. Just yell out. Jesus Christ. Just yell it out. or, as is and has been, my father's trademark. The fake name, Jesus Crimmins. My father said, and I've said this before, if you've never heard this, I mean, when people say, Jesus Christ, and they use the name as a, you know, as a real, not as a cuss, but as a punctuation of frustration. Almost a scream, as if there is the Savior, save me. Why? The worst of all pain. And that's, I believe, where it originated. My father would always be criticized when he was younger for saying that. So he made up the last name. I have no idea where he got the name Crimmins. But indeed, he would use Jesus, and we had this fake character who was the name of his frustration, signified as punctuation of something going wrong. Jesus Crimmins! And once in a while, he would add Almighty. And so the phrase, but when you heard him scream with the terror in his mouth, untangling, Jesus Crimmins Almighty! Real loud, and people would, you know, people would get a, it wouldn't bother the fact that he said Jesus, that's okay. Crimmins, we said Crimmins, he didn't say Christ, I'll leave him alone. We said Christ, if he said Christ, I'd be mad, he's just yelling, Christ, Christ, Christ. Today I don't think it's anything, nobody does, nobody, but I've never heard anyone else on the face of the earth, in literature, in life, in school, anywhere, have I ever heard anybody say the name, the Jesus Crimmins, no less use Almighty. But there it went. So he's doing this, and he's screaming because why? Because they're breaking the what's breaking? The bulbs are breaking, and sometimes, you know, the bulb is breaking, and you're cutting yourself, and if you're not cutting yourself, then you have the base to take out. And if you're not cutting yourself, you're going to rip your tight gloves or whatever it is that you're dealing with in order to be able to hold on to these things. And so this is the first step in getting them ready. It's getting all of that. And this is going to take forever to get all of this together so that you could then take them and start stapling them. Stapling. Which meant, of course, you had to go get giant staplers. Heavy-duty staplers. Not easy. This is so there's the screaming. So I set the stage here. Okay, it's cold out. It's kind of dark. There's no sun. And you are now hearing my father yell. He's yelling and screaming, Jesus Crimmins Almighty, for every one that breaks, for every time he can't. See, when he doesn't seem to be able to unlock, you know, a particular knot, because these things are in knots like you wouldn't believe. It's horrible. It's so incredibly difficult to be able to take this apart. This was the beginning, me and my father out there doing the father's, because we're going to put the lights up. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and I'm chronicling today with some remembrance of a wonderful, wonderful loving man who would do anything for me. But I paid the price in a very, very light way. Certainly not like some people. My father never hit me. My father never did anything but support anything I ever wanted to do. Even though some of that was out of laziness, it didn't matter. Because you're a kid, you don't care. You just want that, you know, you just want that support. And the idea that, but it was a handful, and we had to put up the lights. So I'm going to say this because, and then tell the rest of the story, as I will in the second hour, because if you go around and see all these lights, and they'll be up way past this show and the holiday, they'll be up all the way through sometime in January, past New Year's, and the middle, people start taking them down. You'll see these lights. I want you to think about the people who put these lights. Put the lights up. The people who put the lights up. It's not that simple. Everyone enjoy, and that's of course the result of all this, which really makes this futile, or it makes the actual act, because it was just something you did. All you had to do was get it done. It was hard work. You got to do it. You got to get it done. The results don't matter. My father was not an artisan. He was not somebody who carefully crafted the designs. It's just get them up, put the lights up. That's it. Then you're done. So it's meaningless because everyone else, I mean, because most people are putting up these things and they're really taking time and they're looking which ones will blink, which ones will do this. You know, it looks good. And ours looks like, what can I say? It looks like it's the poor man's decoration. It looks terrible. If you look at the picture I have on the CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com, you see this kind of like, well, we put up some lights. And there's nothing, there's just lots of lights because that's what you do. I mean, if you go to, let's say you go to Google Images and you look for Christmas decoration lights, oh my goodness, the things you will see, or even driving around anywhere. And I want you to think about those people putting the lights up. Put the lights up. Jesus Crimmins Almighty. It's Christmas time again. It doesn't have to be that way now, and I don't know how it is with many people out there, but you know, life in the city and life in a culture, a city culture, and in a family, it's hilarious and yet it's tiring, and the lights really signify, it's a great metaphor for how I worked with my father, or the lack of communication and understanding we had for doing something, the difference in age and how it just conflicted, and there was static. There was frustration. We would have been so much better off if we didn't put the lights up. But we had to put the lights up, and that meant the beginning of a torturous day, something that should be joyous. And then when it was done, you'd look at it and go, why? Why? My God, Jesus, Crimmins Almighty only said it, only had the impact of what it could have meant. My name is Frank Catolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The actual putting up of the lights described, and more screaming and yelling, including my father, continually doing this. Frankie! Father never called me Frank, so he's Frankie. More about that when we get into the second hour of this show. And I want you to remember to be here on the 27th, when we do the roll call from the Bone Garden. We've done this every year.
And we'll do it. This is, I'm here, I'm live again. Well, I was live then, of course. But it's that's only the second hour of that coming up, but I didn't want to waste any more time. So we've got to go by whatever the hell he did there. So let's see where we go now.
Called Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, okay, so there's that and this. Let's see,
I think we're going to make it to the... I don't know about that either. I can't really contribute to other people's thoughts, only to, as I am explaining this, the thoughts of my father, who is the man who put up the lights with me, the man who directed my putting up the lights. Did I just find it? Amazing how this has disappeared. By putting out the lights. You would think this would not dissipate. I'm not organized at all. And it's funny because here I am talking about how the disorganization of putting things together. Oh, I know, because I threw it out. I got to go over to the garbage. Yes, I know. I crunched it up. Let's see. I crunched it up. Yes. I ripped it and crunched it up. Like I would know the name of it. Okay, this is not it. But hold on, because I'm, I thought this would be fun. I have it right here. Okay. It took a couple of seconds. Once again, I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. I'm going to get this thing up on YouTube and then play this, and then we'll get back to the story. This is ADHD. It goes to show you also the incredible distance between the origin, you know, the innocence of putting that together, of putting, getting Charlie Brown and putting it together. If you were an Indian, did you hear our show? If you can get, I don't know where you can get it. Maybe write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. I'll send you personally a copy if you didn't hear our Lone Ranger show from earlier this year, because that's coming up now. And if you might have seen,
I got to find this here now. We got to get to. You know, we're running out of time. Let's get some more. Let's try to move ahead a little bit. It's tough to do this.
We're there on the roof. The shingles are on the side of the house. That's the siding and the brown speckled tar stuff that's part of the roof. That's what I had to negotiate. Now, in order to do that, to put the lights on the arch, I would have to either have a ladder in the front, which was difficult because I would have to go over my father because he had one ladder because he couldn't reach the top of the windows when he's doing the windows that are on the ground floor. He'd still need a ladder. So I couldn't put a ladder and go to the arch. It was also a lot more dangerous to place a ladder that high and get up there and then get off from there. So I would go through the bedroom windows. And like I said, while outside, this superficial, I should say superficial, I guess false feeling of power being on the roof and looking down at the neighborhood in a way that you don't see it, even when looking through the windows upstairs. And I could, in my mind's eye, I can see this so clearly. And going out of those windows, it was just fun to get out those windows. Okay, the fun ended. That was it. And I liked being up there, and that was the fun part of it. But then it was work. Okay, here is how, and the harangue would begin. Here's how the lights adhered themselves to the wood molding and the wood, green wood shingles of the house. A stapler. Not an electric staple. These days, the electric, you know, nail, you put a nail in with this electric machine, you know, it's, the nail goes in it, and these staples that are just like, boom, boom. A staple gun in those days needed to be manually shot. You had to squeeze this metal gun, this metal ejector, large metal ejector and the shape. So you had to put the staples in, which was every bit as annoying as putting in staples in a regular staple, little staple gun for paper. It was just a larger one. And you had to get these large, thick staples. And you would have to press down so you get the staples into the wood of the molding. But you had to get you had to shoot it in there, in the middle, because the staples on either side, there's only a little room inside, so you put the wire up, hold the wire, and you gotta hold the wire with one hand, and you have to staple it up with the other one, using this cumbersome, huge gun that you have to squeeze, which means it's very difficult to keep it straight because you have to squeeze it. Your hands are cold anyway. If you got gloves on, they're sliding. This means that the chance of your getting it into the molding, actually making it penetrate where you want it to into the house, the chances of that were good, 70, 80%. But in that window of 20, 25% chance of even if you got it in, so let's say you just did that, that's good odds. You're going to get 70, 80, 85% of the time, you're going to be able to get that. And if you use two hands, I'd say 99% of the time that it would go in. But remember, now you had to negotiate the staple around with the two sharp edges with the wire in the middle. This is electric wire. So obviously, if you did it wrong, incorrectly, you would penetrate the wire of that. The lights were all on this wire. There were these wires. So you had to do that with one hand because you had to hold on. This is incredible. And there was no way to do it easily. There was no way to do it correctly. But to my father, getting it done without ruining either hurting yourself or the wire. That's how you did it. How do you do this? So do I get any guidance? Put it in there. Get it in between. It's cold. Well, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. This is what we do. I did my best. Somewhat. And now I have now, okay, so that's difficult to do. That's difficult to do looking straight at it and standing on both feet. Now I am straddled on the arch of the roof with a leg on either side hanging you down and I'm leaning over, the blood rushing to my head because I'm putting backwards because I can't put the ladder in the front and go over. My father was on the ladder for the lower part. I'm doing it from the top, looking over. So I got a balance. I have to balance myself. No, I don't have a helmet or anything on. Matter of fact, I have clothing on. I'm dressed in layers to try to stay warm. Now I have to get this staple in there. And it's, you know, once you get the first one, it's a little easier to get every other one, but you still are always in a precarious position up there. You got to hold on with one arm, use everything, the whole other, and this gun is not just, it has a recoil. The staple gun has a recoil. So, bam, they pop right back at you. There's a few times you got to get real close because you got to see it. At the same time, and you push it down, and you only have one hand, and it gets, and as it shoots into the wood, it also recoils. And I can't tell you how many times I would do that. Ow! I'd scream, because why? Because the gigantic gun would pop back into my face. And every time I did that, I upset my father. Every time I did that, he heard it, not expecting to hear that. So I'd go, ow! Jesus! From it, what? And he's getting nervous, get upset, and yell. And you know,
okay, just do it right.
Just do it right. So, being the elder, being the one who's leading, I don't know what he's doing, but you can't tell him. You can't negotiate. You just have to get up there and do it. Well, you know, let's give you 1 year where I just did it at reckless abandon. Did I put up the ones on the arches? Because I was more concerned about holding on and not falling, and because it's so difficult. And I just wanted to get it done. But I must have ruined 1 year any number of light strings, because If the staple went right through the wire, if the staple goes through the wire, your chances of the light bulb going on in there are just nil. Then those chances are nil. It's short out. And I might add, if you got some kind of a short, it either happens right away when you plug it in to test if the lights are on because they're all up, you'll get pop, pop, pop in the pieces. And you're looking, all this hard work. And the bulb would pop or the bulb wouldn't go on. And it's one situation. And that 1 year. So I had to be allowed. How did you do that? Frankie, why don't they work? Why? And now I have the answers. I'm the one who has to have the answers. Maybe I missed with the, and I'll be honest, maybe I missed with the staple because I was holding on for dear life. I told you not to put them in the wire. I told you not to put them in the wire. It's all I get. I don't get any guesses. What's wrong with you? You can't put them in the wire. What are you, stupid? You're short. I'm just on fire. And my imitations are very high. His wife's voice was a lot lower than that. But he just yelled out. Yes, I guess I'm stupid. It's another stupid thing done by me. I took all this in stride. I did understand. Maybe my mother used to say, your father, this is such a lie. It's hilarious to me. I don't look back and I don't call him on this. They rest in peace. My mother used to say, your father has no patience. Your father gets upset and he screams. I knew later on in life, as I mentioned before, that it was because he's frustrated, because he couldn't express himself correctly, because he had to do these things and he just did them and he didn't even want to do them. He felt like he had no control over his life. So it was time to put the lights up. You put the lights up. Even if you don't know how to do it, but you do it right. And then he's got me to bounce all the frustrations off my head, off my identity, off my growing up, off my everything. And so here we are, this is definitely, these are two stooges at least, or we're playing the three somehow or other with the middleman. We're splitting up we're splitting up the Larry part, Moe and hitting. It's like the hitting, it's like hitting when they're yelling, okay? So when it's done, so when I ruin that, he's completely pissed. And 1 year, it didn't ruin. Now another year, when I managed, and this, I'm going to tell you this, the God's honest truth, it was just about luck. I got the lights up without puncturing the bulb, the wire for the bulbs. But this one time, remember, we don't care when we take it down, the light, the bulbs break, just put it away, it's over. And then we deal with all that the next year with the frustration of not having done it, putting them away correctly. So there were different kinds of lights, bulbs, I'm sorry. They're different kind of bulbs, integrated circuits, I believe they were called, which would go on and off and on and off, the blinking lights. And we rarely did we put up blinking lights. And if you put up blinking lights, you had to use, if you put lights around one window, then they'd blink. You don't put up a blink here and a blink there and a blink, unless you're us, some of the Catolos. You put up a blink here, there's a blink over there, this one blinks, that one blinks. There is no pattern, there is no rhyme or reason. All that bulb is doing, is functioning, is being in that socket if it goes on and off. But when it was time to turn them on after we had put it on one season, now it's getting later, because it gets dark really early when we're putting these things up, and we're working into the dark. Haven't even had dinner yet, because they're not going to work after dinner. You can do this straight through, and it's over. It's stuck. That's all the time you have. Why? Because things are black and white. You don't say, let's do a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. No, just do it. That's it. We got no time. We're on some kind of clock. We're going to be in trouble if we don't finish this. So 1 year, we go to the curb the front of the house, where my father insisted in front of his house. It was his parking space. By the way, we did not own that parking space. It belonged to the city. It's the street, the curb. Our property line does not go out there. But everybody who had a house on that street felt that they had the right to the parking space in front of their house. And if it wasn't there, someone else looked, someone took my space. No, Christ. Jesus Christ, somebody took my space. I had to park all the way up the block. Someone took my space. What do you have? Do you have a piece of paper that says that's your space? You have a deed to the house. It's your house. What's your space? What's your space? It's my space. Don't argue. It's my space. My house is my space. There's no room for negotiation of the truth, to negotiating the truth. It's just this, it's this mad sense of entitlement, a sense of, it's not even entitlement, it's like, it's just, this is the way it is. They ended it with it is, okay? But that, this is the way it is, all right? Black, white, no in between. You own the house, that's your spot. Somebody goes in your spot, you can't do anything about it, you can't call the police and say, hey, somebody's in my spot. Is that your spot? Why is that your spot? Okay, so we stand where, if we were fortunate, one year my father was, his car was there because it was in his spot and nobody parked there. And of course the problem with that is the house, the street did not only have these individual houses. There were also some houses that had four or five apartments in them. And those people had cars and they didn't feel, I just parked anywhere as long as you could park. You had to find a parking space. Everybody had cars. There were more cars than there were parking spaces. And those cars in those days were gigantic. They weren't like, you couldn't, they were big. These were like Pontiacs and Dodge, big ones with fins and Chevrolets. Heavy, big cars. You need a spot. Okay, so we're at the curb where hopefully my father at the time, maybe his 1958 or 57 Chevy was parked, so he was happy. And we turn on the lights. And always, I got my fingers crossed. Let there be nothing wrong if they're not. Jesus Crimmins, God of what goes wrong and right, please let those lights, now that they've gone up on the day when we put the lights up, let it be okay. Let us just be okay so we can go indoors and forget about it. And so this one time, the lights go on, it plugged in, I have to go do it, of course. My father stands there at the curb. I'm with him at the curb. I have to go inside, wherever that connection might be. I plug it in, and I run out, right, to stand by his side and look at the house, which now, where we have put up the lights, around the door, around the two windows in the front, and I've done the arches on the top. This one season we do this. And there are two, we didn't check any of the bulbs. A couple of bulbs are out. Okay, we can handle that. It's easy. But some bulbs that were in, he thinks are out right off the bat. But then they start. And in a very strange season, there were only a few that were blinkers. Where did we get the blinkers? Why are they blinking? So there's three blinking. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Let's say 5, 10, 25 lights. Let's say there's 25 lights around one window, 25 lights around the other window in the front. The door has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 25. Let's say 25, 30 lights. And then on my strewn lights on the wedges, 3 blinkers. They're just blinking. And of course, they're on my job site. I did that. So, the immediate thing is, look, we're done. We wanted to just go in. But that's not what happened. What happened is this 3 blinking lights. So I don't know why they blink. And there were two kinds of blinkers. See, if you got an entire string of lights that all blinked at the same time with a beat, on, off, on, off, on, off. Or you got these individual blinkers, on, off, 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 on, off. And they're just blinking, and it looked like they were moving around because they all blinked in some strange capacity. No, and just forget about colors. I don't care what, you know, I mean, there might have been one or two times my father actually looked and went, but that yellow one should be with a red one. There's two reds. There's two reds. I gotta go back on the roof because there's two reds in a row. It's like, I gotta move and take one out. Okay, but later, he kind of eased up on the color coordination after a while because he just wanted to get done also. But there we are, and there's three blinking lights. And, of course, they're on my territory, as I said. So it's like, Maggie, what'd you put those up there for? Now, first of all, how do you mention that he knows I did not arrange these bulbs. I'm happy any of them work. I have no idea at one point that season, you know, I was just happy that I did not penetrate all the wires and we weren't just looking at sparks going. There's been one Christmas light show, and that's when all the sparks went off, the electricity went through, and everything went aflame. Right? That would have been it. Oh, that was a wonderful show. That's it. So I was just happy that didn't happen. I was happy the lights were up. Just the days we put the lights up. And there are the lights. Three bulbs are blinking. And because they're in my territory, he says, why did I do that? It was obviously planned, right? And I'm like, I didn't know they were. What do you mean you didn't know? What do you mean you didn't know? Listen to what I'm trying to argue. I'm trying to defend myself. I didn't know they were blinking. No, we got the ones that don't have the blinks in the wing. We have blinkers. We don't have blinkers. And he's so frustrated that he's done, but he can't be done. And he won't settle for leaving the blinkers there. And I don't understand this at all, because I'm like, leave them blink. Who cares? That's not funny. Are you joking me? And I'm not saying it that way, because I am not, at that point in my life, that defiant. And later on in life, I just laugh at this stuff. And I became a little older. I was 18 when I talked with my father, and I just wouldn't take it that seriously. It didn't kill me. It didn't hurt me, you know? But like, this is like, I don't know, 14, 15, I don't know what, but still, so I'm not arguing with him, but I can't tell him I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But for some reason or another, and I don't know why, he is suddenly he doesn't like the fact that there are three of them there. Why didn't he? We can't forget about it. This must be fixed before we're done. He's not going to do it. Maybe that's why. In a sense, he's going, you need to go fix it. I often wondered. And I don't wonder, I guess I would put money on the possibility that if they were on his side, if they were on me, he would just went, all right, we're done. Change the Tremens Almighty. Can't you put blinkers where they belong? They don't belong anywhere. We don't use blinkers. Didn't we say we weren't using blinkers? Yeah, it was 3 years ago. We never mentioned it. We were too busy taking the things apart. Don't tell me about that. Just go fix that thing. Take them off. Well, okay, how am I take them off? Where am I going to find three others? It's better they blink than there's nothing there. Because if there's nothing there, they don't blink and you can see it. It's like looking at a set of teeth and three are missing. It's obvious. If there were three blinking teeth, you would now know that there were teeth there. At least there are teeth there, but they're blinking. No, you can't have those blink. But where am I going to get them? Do I have to go out now? Do I have to go around the corner and walk to wherever it might be go all the way down 18th Avenue on the right to some strange store, some that has lights, and get extra bulbs? I'm wondering, what do I have to do? What do you want me to do, even if I take them off of there? And I found a way to cheat and try to fool him, because I was not going to, and to cheat and fool him was to find bulbs somewhere in the house that maybe there were a couple of stray ones when we were taking when we were unraveling them. Maybe there were one or two or three that there's, and I could quickly put in the ones that didn't blink. Take the ones out that blink. Or there might be a light bulb that's down on the corner of one of the ones where he's strewn. If I didn't have any, I could steal one from there and put it in there, because it was obvious that we could. And so I had to do that. And he never went out and checked afterwards. He would just see it. They'd be home. I had a window of a whole day. Because once he went inside, that was it. He didn't go outside. He told me to fix it. If I didn't, he didn't go outside to check it. But I had a whole window of a day to try to figure out how to do it without going to buy anymore. This is what I'm saying. This is why, and this yelling of his, just incessant, everything is a yell, and there's no direction because his frustration is so terrible. It's so painful. And the only way he could express himself was to yell and to blame. And it was a sad element of his personality, but it was not uncommon. This is how people existed in those days. This is that generation. But I was talking about my mother saying, you know, your father yells. I didn't complete that thought. She would say, your mom, take it easy on your father. Excuse me. Take it easy on your father. He's a nervous wreck because of the war. And my father, and when I was young, I went, ooh, a soldier, of course. The bombs almost killed World War II. I read about it. I saw movies. It was horrible. And it's almost, you know, she never said he was shell-shocked or whatever they called it back then. She said the nerves were on edge. It was from the war. He was indeed a soldier. My father, later on in life, I discovered, of course, my father never saw action. He never had any reason, in terms of his association with the military, his association with World War II, his association with combat, which was nil. I lost my... Hold on, water. But my mother had no truth to be able to make an excuse. But as his wife, she felt it necessary to say, take it easy on your dad, will you? He's a nervous wreck because of the war. And we never had a war. My father got into the service, and he was drafted, but he wasn't old enough to go over there, just as they were about to send him overseas, as they used to say, when it was over, there was no more war. So he got out of seeing combat. And what he did, the most action he saw was, and he was in San Francisco, stationed on the West Coast, and he was taught how to give injections, because I don't know what these injections are. You see them in movies, in World War II movies, when guys were being drafted and then they were going through, then went through a physical. What physical? You know, they weighed them and everything, and then they gave them a shot. I have no idea what was in that, but half the time, there weren't even doctors giving them the injections they needed. Maybe they were, I don't know. No, that was the scene. That was the legend, and that's how it worked in the movies and stuff. Well, my father was one of those guys who was taught how to give the injections. The most action he saw was once in a while, because in comedies, they would always show the real thin, emaciated man who was drafted. They give him the shot, and he faints. This is the most action my father ever could have seen. How that could have made him such a nervous wreck. And, you know, and what did I do? You know, later on in life, do you think I went up to my mother and accused her of anything? Did I go up to my mother? No, I didn't. But I just laughed at it when I learned later that wasn't it. And I realized and understood my father a bit more, because that was his frustration. And it taught me in a certain way to, like, well, it's difficult, but I should not do that. And if I have anger, I should find the source of that anger, as opposed to just taking it out on anybody. As I get older, my business partner, a girlfriend, my wife, or any of my kids, anything that would happen to me in the future, I had to watch that. And it's very difficult, because it would get away from me. I would lose it here and there, because certain buttons would be pushed. And when I was yelling back, if a button was pushed and I was yelling back at whoever this might have been later on in life, I was really yelling back at my father, who I could not address in anger when he was addressing me and using me as the bouncing point of his frustration. This relationship manifesting itself. And we never had to put up the lights. Now, listen to the end of this particular story of putting up the lights, which also was the end of doing other things we did together, like shoveling snow. If there was a snowstorm, if there was a big snow, we would both go out. My father would go out, and I would go out with the snow shovels, and we'd shovel the front, certainly his parking space. We didn't get to shovel the space. And we would shovel the front. In front of our house and the side, in the alleyway and going up. Okay, we would do that. And after we put up the lights, which was the other thing that we did together outdoors. Not a lot of other things did we ever do together in that respect. So it was once a year that, and maybe a couple of times doing the snow. But here's what happened. Now, when it was all over, and the yelling would go on and off. It was off. Like, when I went back in, when we went back inside, my father wasn't mad at me. He wasn't ready to yell and say, you're what a jerk. I'm not going to do this anymore with you. The frustration came out in spurts, and it came out in those particular episodes as the circumstance allowed itself during our working together, putting up the lights. Never yelled at me with the snow, all right? But when we got indoors, whether it was the snow or the lights, when it was over, we would, even before dinner or anything like that, my father would go, and we had this large dining room table, one of these old dining room tables, thick wood and everything. And we would sit down. This was without saying anything. He would take out the brandy. I don't remember the exact name of the brand, but it was a certain brand in those days, in a big bottle. He had the bottle of brandy. And we'd sit down, and I'm even at 14, 15, it didn't matter, because he's cold. And his expression, to say, like, warm, get warm up, he wouldn't say it. He would let me have, with him, sit down in two special brandy glasses. And we'd sit down like two men. Not like a frustrated dad or a frustrated man and his kid who was stupid and who couldn't put up the lights correctly. We'd sit down and we'd each have what was the equivalent of like two shots of brandy in these special brandy glasses. And if we talked, it was about whatever. It was never about anything particularly important. And it was never about the job we just did or what needs to be done or when we're going to take the lights down or anything. Once it was done, when the snow was done, once we were indoors and it was officially done, black and white, and it looked horrible, didn't matter. It was done because it was the day to put up the lights. And we did it. We did it through the anger and the frustration, Rich, we got out alive. I never fell off that roof. A couple of times I got close, but I never had a problem. And I did what I had to do, even when I did it wrong. But I did it, and I followed through. And there was a strange sense of accomplishment when we got indoors. And there was no more frustration. There was no more yelling. There was no more anything. We were going to go have dinner. It was going to be warm in the house. The heat was coming up. We were safe and sound. And we had our brandies. Like two men who had done anything as a team. It was a very important ritual. When I think of the entire experience, I very carefully remember that the result was so much more important. And it was, and it enabled me to absorb the his anger and frustration, which of course we could argue and say was certainly not good for him. It might have been one of the reasons he eventually died. Of course, there's many reasons why we eventually die, but what have you. But the moments with my father that I was able to understand and embrace were there, and it all resulted in that brandy. And all the other stuff is just funny, regardless of what happened. And later on in life, of course, we did stop putting up the lights. I left, he left, the house left, he died, the house was sold, whatever. And we didn't ever put the lights up again. The good part about that is we didn't have to live through that, the terror of the relationship and his frustration and everything that took place, the act, the roles that we played. But of course, what was sad is that we never had brandy that way again. Ever.
And there you have it. See, I never could have told that story again, and I know I've told pieces of it here and there. But that's the Christmas. And I don't know. I just shared that with you again because I didn't realize how important it turned out. But it did. And that was, wow. Okay. So there. We shall be back as long as all things remain equal and okay and move along. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'll greet you again, hopefully, 7 days from now. And everything will just go all over again. Stay tuned to this station for some fine programming. If you're listening lifelike, if you're listening live, stay tuned for Savino Veritas. It's coming up real soon. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. I've said all there is to say for now. I have nothing more to say.